Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9, verse 51, if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're 4 or 5 weeks away from Easter Sunday. But before you can celebrate a resurrection, there has to be a death first. Jesus knew that this would be what he came to do. And so we're going to talk about the road to Jerusalem. And there was a time when Jesus made the decision, I've got to head toward Jerusalem, knowing what would happen to him there. Yet he set his face to go to Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, let's notice together. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? Then he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said, Lord, I will follow you wherever I go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to them who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no man or no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless, encourage, anoint your word today, God. You know, God, how to meet us where we are. I pray that you'd talk to the heart of every person today, God, through your word. Ask for the anointing upon your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The road to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus knew he was entering the final phase of his ministry. And soon his days on earth would be completed and he would return to his Father. But first, he must complete his mission in obedience to the Father. And that meant going to Jerusalem. And the Bible says here that he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. Amen. He knew he had to do this. This is what he came for. And this realization cast a long shadow over the remaining passages of the Gospel of Luke here. As Jesus walks toward Jerusalem, he walks towards death. He knew that, but yet he made the choice to keep on going down the road to Jerusalem. He made that choice because he loved me and you, knowing that there would be no other sacrifice and no other means of redemption unless he completed the Father's will and completed redemption when he would die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. And let's look first of all that the road to Jerusalem was a road of absolute commitment. I mean, Jesus had to make the choice to go on this road, knowing where it would lead him, know what he was headed for. Amen. If you were walking down the street out here right now, and you said when you get to the red light up here, you're going to be crucified. They're going to stretch your hands out and drive nails in them, your hands and your feet, and they're going to torture you in every way possible to make you suffer the tremendous, as much pain and suffering as you could get before you died, you wouldn't go down that road. But that's what Jesus went down, knowing that it took his blood, the only sinless blood there ever was, to atone for the sins of mankind, and Jesus walked down that road. He kept going. And it was a road of absolute commitment. And it says in Psalms 50:7, which is a cross passage of this verse, he says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. To set one's face like a flint meant that he would be completely determined to carry on what God had called him to do. The Greek literally says he set his face toward Jerusalem. And in the Hebrew, in Isaiah 15:7, the Hebrew phrase implies a fixedness of purpose. and especially in the face of difficulty and danger. It means that Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem no matter what. Praise God. And when we start out on the road living for Christ, we're going to live for Him no matter what. Whether we get discouraged, depressed, or about anything, we're going to keep on going forward for God. We're going to keep on living for God. And Jesus here would not turn aside from His purpose. Amen. If we read in verse 44, we find there that same chapter, verse 44. Jesus said to His disciples there, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." He had warned His disciples several times this, that the Son of Man is going to be crucified, and they think that could never happen to our Lord. And so but Jesus said, "Let these words sink down into your ears." I think He wanted them to hear it, didn't He? And so He would not turn aside from His purpose. In the book of John, chapter 12, I want to add a couple of verses to this. John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." What a powerful passage of Scripture that Jesus says here. You know, "I would like to be saved from this hour, but God sent me to this hour." What hour? The hour of His crucifixion, that He would pay for our sins with His life. Amen. He had His eyes fixed and set His face set toward Jerusalem, knowing that He was going to pay the price for our sins. Amen. He would let nothing stop Him. Nothing would talk Him out of it. There would be no reasoning on the side that would convince Him that He should go another way or do something else. He loved you. He loved me. And you can put your name there personally enough that He would not stop on this road to Jerusalem until He got to the place where He would give His life for us. He steadfastly set His face. His purpose was to die for sinful mankind, to make salvation, deliverance from sin possible, and eternal life possible for whosoever will. What was the alternative? The alternative for Him was to be disobedient to the Father's will and not care for you and I, and just let all of us die and pay for our sins in eternal hell. But Jesus stepped into the picture. Praise God, on a road that He would never stop on until He had finished His purpose. And He came to this hour, and His 33 years as in His humanity here, He'd come to the hour when He was to give His life. His purpose was to complete the work of a redemption. Amen. The payment for our sins. He would not fail. He would not listen to any alternative. There was no alternative. He knew what lay ahead. He knew suffering lay ahead. He knew bearing the complete, unrestrained, sinful behavior of mankind and bearing the sin and the guilt, all the guilt that you and I have ever felt for anything we've done wrong. He would set His face to go to Jerusalem to bear all of that for you and I so that we would not have to pay for it ourselves in eternal hell. He made the commitment to go and pay the price for us. Amen. And you and I, as believers, we must have the absolute commitment to follow Christ. Amen. Like Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem, you and I must set our face to live for Him no matter what. Determined to live for God regardless. And we must drop all excuses and make no deals with anyone anywhere. Amen. But compromise for nothing but to have a set mind and a set heart and a made up mind. I'm going to serve Christ regardless if things go my way or not. And regardless if I don't get their prayers answered like I think they ought to be answered, I'm still going to live for God no matter what. Set our face like Jesus did to live for Him no matter what. Many years ago, I worked in a secular job and as a machine shop, and I worked with a guy next to me, and his name was Sid. And as we were working on the machine there, you know, he didn't have any choice. If he's working with me, he could hear Jesus for 8 hours. I mean, I knew he was lost, and by the way, he wasn't a mean guy, but I knew by the way he described his life, the way he lived, I knew he wasn't saved. And so I began to witness to him, tell him about Jesus. And at the end of that, he said, he was very kind. He said, "If you want to live your life that way, that's fine. but I don't want to live my life like that for Jesus, like you're talking about. Because you see, he made a choice to turn. He did not set his face toward Christ or toward eternal life. But here it tells us in 9:23, I know I'm backing up, that's okay. I'm not all the way back yet, that would be to Genesis. 9:23, Jesus talked about what it would mean to set your face and set your affection on things above and go toward him. Verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so we know there that Jesus explained what it would cost to really follow him and to have your purpose and your mind set on going all the way with Christ and not giving up somewhere along the way. And so discipleship has its cost. You say, well, it cost a lot to live for God. Let me tell you, the payment for sin is not to be compared with the cost of living for God. The payment for sin is eternity without God. You don't want to go there. Amen. And so the discipleship had a cost. If you want to follow Christ, there's a price to it, has cost to it. Yes, Jesus died for our sins. There's no cost to that because Jesus paid for our sins. He offers salvation free. But Jesus said here, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, something the world doesn't want to hear, something much of the church world doesn't want to hear. But self-denial, it means not in love with self, not self-righteousness, not that I'm so selfish that I got to have everything for me and I got to have it now. Amen, that's the way the world is. But discipleship has its cost. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Amen. And when it comes down to it, to Jesus being the way to heaven, you know, he didn't call a committee. He didn't have Democrats or Republicans to stand behind him. He didn't have to say, let's sit down and work this thing out about eternal life. Let me tell you something. There is absolutely nothing to work out when it comes to serving God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. That is the way, and there is no discussion about it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no human reasoning about it. You have to go his way. You've got to set your face. I'm going to live for God no matter what. Got to be complete commitment. There is no price tag that will make stopping the journey of following Christ worth it. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's not anything. Okay, it tells us in Revelation 21 and 8, it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Man, my friend, you don't want to die twice. You want to just die once. Die physically, we all will, and our spirit man, if you're a Christian, the spirit man will rise from this body and go to be with Jesus forever, and that's eternal life. Spirit man doesn't age, doesn't get old, doesn't wrinkle. Amen. And so that's what the choice that we have. But the second death is to spend an eternity in the state of death and dying. If you've never seen anybody die, I can tell you it's not really a pleasant thing. If they're dying in Christ, sometimes by the end, they are, as you can tell, tearing, Jesus, take me on. They're dying without Christ. It's not a pretty sight, I can tell you. How would you want to spend an eternity in the state of death and dying for eternity? My friend, you don't want to live like that. You don't want the second death. You want to give your life to Christ, and he died for your sins. And there you can be born again, and you don't have to face the second death, but you can face eternal life instead. Praise God. And Jesus said, not only shall a man deny himself, but he may take up his cross daily. The word daily there is not some of your newer versions of the scripture, but the old version here is better. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Because you see, the disciples knew that when he said that, or anybody in his... To take up a cross meant to die on it, because there were thousands of Jewish people killed and crucified, and anybody that tried to intervene or tried to interfere with Roman government, they were crucified. That was their punishment. But Jesus said, you got to be willing to die to self, to sin. You got to deny self. You got to be willing to die to self to follow me. That means there has to be some dying to take place if we're going to live for God. It doesn't mean you die physically, but dying to sinful passions, dying to anything and all things that would hinder your walk with God. The writer of Romans puts it this way, and we usually apply the scripture to water baptism, and I do too, but it's a good scripture. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. That scripture simply means that we are buried with him by baptism into death. It's a picture of water baptism. When we go down into the water, we're, and that's a saying of the public, publicly we're saying, I am burying my old life of the pursuit of sin. And I'm coming up a new man entirely to follow Christ, to have made the decision to follow Christ. Amen. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, continue down the road that leads to eternal life, just as Jesus took the road that would lead to redemption for our sins. Praise the Lord. And so we must follow Christ regardless of the cost. You know, and turning away from God or turning back should not even be considered an option. What would you turn back to if you turned away from Christ? Would you turn back to sin, pursuit of things that never satisfied before? And many backsliders come to this, and they backsliders, if they've once known God but turned away from God, when they go back to their old life of sin, they find it ends up just the same way, that whatever all they had tried before they were saved never worked the first time. And why would we consider it possible for it to work the second time around? It won't work. Nothing will make you happy in the pursuit of sin. And never satisfied. Like money or pleasure or possessions, there's nothing wrong with having money, and there's nothing wrong with pleasure or possessions. They just can't be God and Lord of your life. Amen. For no help and no life, what would we turn back to? Amen. If you went back to a life of no encouragement, no work of the Holy Spirit to face life's fears and dangers and problems, and for an eternity in hell, turn back to what? There's nothing to turn back to. We make the decision to go forward, to set our face, to go forward with Jesus like Jesus did for us. My friend, let me tell you something. Let me encourage you a little bit this morning. You and I, as Christians, as believers, as children of God, we are not on our way to hell. We're on our way to heaven. We are a people looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're looking to a city where the Lamb is a light, a city where the roses never fade, a city where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. We're headed for a wonderful place, a wonderful eternity. You can't afford to turn back for anything. Turn to God with all your heart. Hallelujah. If wealth or fame could have persuaded the Apostle Paul, he would have turned back. He was a great Pharisee, but a lost man until he met Jesus. He would suffer for his faith considerably, but considered himself dead to sin and alive to God. As a matter of fact, he would say to the church at Galatia, he would say, I am crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to tell you something. Paul said, I'm just to be crucified to my old way of life. Amen. My old sinful pursuit of sinful things is dead. Man, that's the way it has to be. Then he said in the book of Philippians, that he writes from jail, from prison. What was he in prison for? Prison for preaching the gospel. That's it. But he said, I have not already attained, nor am I already perfected. But he said, I press on. I mean, he had his face set toward fulfilling his call to walk with God. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on forward with God. I started this road. I started the straight and narrow that leads the road to life everlasting. I'm not going to fall short. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to be sidetracked somewhere down the road. I've made the decision. I'm going to go on. I've set my face. I'm going to go on for Jesus no matter what. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let's notice that the second place here, second point, I know you'll be glad for me to tell you this, it only has 2 points. Message. This road that Jesus would follow would be a road of rejection. That's hard. We go to verse 52, back to our text here. And he sent messengers before his face that they would, as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare him for him. But they, the Samaritans, did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down out of heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? Jesus would suffer national rejection from Israel. And I can see Jesus' words, I believe he wept over Jerusalem, Matthew 23, one of the strongest passages of Scripture, chapters in the Bible or concerning Christ. Now Jesus had worked miracles and signs and wonders among the people. He'd even raised the dead. He had done everything that gave them no reason to not believe that he was the Son of God. But he wept over Jerusalem when he saw their rejection. And Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for you shall see me no more, till you shall say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Unbelief plagued Israel as a nation. Even though there were those within that accepted Christ as a Messiah, and there was a great church born out of that, yet national Israel rejected Christ as the Savior and as the Messiah. Did not believe he was the Messiah, did not believe he could forgive sins, did not believe he could deliver from sin, did not believe he's the one that was promised in the Old Testament as the Messiah that would come. And here we find that Jesus has some more rejection. He gets some more rejection. He comes to a city of Samaria, and the Samaritans rejected Christ here. And the Samaritans were not liked by Jews. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along with each other because Samaritans were a mixed race of people. It's when the northern kingdom or when the kingdom of Israel failed to the Syrians and they sent other peoples in. They began to marry and intermarry with foreign peoples and there was a mixed race. And so the Jews and the Samaritans didn't believe alike, didn't see alike, and didn't like each other. And so no one would go through Samaria, even if it was a shorter route, and it was to Jerusalem, because Samaritans were there. But yet, Jesus and his disciples and the early church, they ministered to both Jews and Samaritans eventually. But here, at this particular time, the Samaritans did not receive Jesus because his face was set toward Jerusalem. They knew he was a Jew. And they would have nothing to do with him. Aren't you thankful that in Christ, regardless of what race you are or what you're mixed with, that Jesus died for your sins and you can be saved and born again? That's the reason we send missionaries all over the world, not because there's only English-speaking people on the other side of the earth. No, we send people to all the ends of the earth because Jesus died for their sins, regardless of race or color or tribe or whatever. There'll be all of those in heaven that have been saved in those groups. Praise the Lord. And so the Samaritans didn't like Jews. Jews didn't like Samaritans. But to the believer, to follow Christ is not a road of rejection. If we've got our face and our faith set upon following Christ, no matter what, it becomes a road of acceptance to God. To accept that, do we have our sins dealt with, to be honest with God and say and believe that if we confess our sins that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tell you what, I want to be walking with a Jesus that's going to do that. And James and John's response here was not spiritual at all. And James and John were known as sons of thunder. That's what Jesus called them at one place. And here we see the thunder come loose in them. These are Samaritans. You know, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire out of heaven like Elijah did and just consume them? You don't have to put up with this rejection. You don't have to put up with Samaritans. You don't have to put up with this stuff. We can just call fire down out of heaven and there'll be no Samaritans anymore. And Jesus rebuked them. Man, he strongly disagreed verbally with them. Amen. One fellow told me one time, he said, I rebuke the devil, but he didn't buke. Okay. But here Jesus rebuked them. And he turned. You do not know what manner of spirit you are. Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And later on, people would go into Samaria. Philip would go down to Samaria and preach Jesus to them. And God would perform signs and wonders and miracles. And Samaritans would come to know Jesus as their Savior. And the gospel would spread to the ends of the earth so that everybody could know what Jesus did on the cross for them. That he did not stop on the road to Jerusalem, but he kept going. He kept proceeding on. Philippians 1:6 speaks to us to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he, Christ, has made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Nobody likes to be a reject. Amen. I remember when, you know, I've used this illustration before, but, you know, I'm old, so I can do it again. On the playground when I was a kid, which is a few decades ago, that everybody would choose teams. And everybody kind of knew who was good at sports and who just wasn't. And so the top people would be choose first that were good at hitting a ball, baseball usually, or catching a ball that had some kind of athletic ability. And then there were always two or three at the end that nobody wanted on their team because they're afraid they'd cause the team to lose. But they had to include everybody, at least in America. In that school then, they may not now, but anyway, they had to include everybody, so you didn't want to get stuck with a person that couldn't hit a ball or didn't know what baseball was unless they went to the dictionary. And so there were people that rejected. But you know, anyone that comes to Christ, regardless race, color, tribe, or tongue, talents, abilities, or whatever, God rejects no one. He says, come to me all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you peace concerning your eternity. I will give you what you need. Amen. Jesus rejects no one. Amen. And he went all the way to Calvary. He went all the way to Jerusalem to die for our sins. He stopped nothing short because he cared for everybody and nobody would be a reject that would come to him. Amen. He wouldn't reject anybody. He would accept those who would accept him. Hallelujah. And Jesus accepts all that come to him. If you have given your life to Jesus today, you are not a reject. This road to Jerusalem leads to the death of self in the spiritual sense. It leads to the death of the pursuit of sin. It leads to the all that would separate us from God. But it is a road of divine help, divine guidance, eternal life in heaven with our Savior. My friend, press on in the faith. Live for God no matter what. You can't do it alone, and God didn't ask you to do it alone. He sent his Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out. All believers received Christ as their Savior. Amen. They were saved before that. And the 120, not only that, were saved, but they were filled, overflowed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they reached the known world of their day with the good news, the gospel of Christ. We're still reaching the world today with the gospel of Christ. People are being, even while we're preaching right now, there's people all over this world that are being set free with this gospel that we're preaching. It's living and powerful. Amen. The gospel is powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. You can't lose if you stay on the road with Christ. Stay living for him. Keep your face set toward your Savior in eternal life and living for God. Amen.